You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And it is John Gibbons, and it's for a special Anfield Wrap podcast because we're going to be looking at a challenge that the supporters clubs, Liverpool supporters clubs, have been doing all around the world. It's been called the This Means More Challenge. And this week, the winners of this have been announced. So we're going to be speaking to a few of them. There's a few voices that you'll recognise, including Jackie Wilcox, who's up first. So Jackie, people will know you as just an Anfield Wrap contributor now, but you're obviously heavily involved in the supporters club over in Madrid, which is where you live now as well. So if you don't mind, as your first up, if you can tell us, first of all, just a little bit more about the This Means More challenge, how it came about and, you know, what you guys have been doing all around the world.
Yeah, no problem. So for many years, the different supporters clubs around the world have supported the LFC Foundation, who do tremendous work, but primarily in the Anfield area.
Yeah.
And a little bit beyond. And yeah, I mean, really, if anybody doesn't know all the different things they do, I'd encourage them to look into it. But there's always been that kind of point of, you know, not all of us live in cities or communities that are doing well themselves.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a challenge, really, for some of the times the membership, when you're thinking, okay, why are we raising money for things in Anfield when the population that we're living with is struggling as well? So the club took this on board and they thought, okay, how can we use the power of the supporters clubs around the world in their local communities to spread the word of Liverpool, but also the mantra of This Means More. So they gave us a challenge. And there were the two ways in which we could do the challenge. One was to continue community activities that we maybe did in the past. Another one was kind of more fun, what they called at-home challenges. So, you know, that might be, you know, reconstructing the Shankly Gates out of pasta or, you know, creating your own song. But the idea was really understanding that, you know, around the world, you know, to a man, we're all kind of going through tough times right now. So how can we kind of harness the power of community?
So lots of the supporters clubs have all done different things. They've all sort of taken the challenge their own way. And I've enjoyed that aspect of it, really, because, you know, I've been lucky enough to visit lots of the supporters clubs now. And I really like how there's always a little bit of Liverpool, but obviously a little bit of a sort of local feel as well. And this kind of challenge has really kind of reinforced that, really.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing the creativity that people have done. And the real shame is that, you know, there could only be four winners. I mean, that's a real shame because there's been activities that people have done that haven't won. Like, you know, some of the supporters clubs did ocean cleanups where they actually went scuba diving to clean up plastics from the ocean base, you know, all like kind of waving flags with Liverpool on. You know, other communities did things for mothers of young children. You know, some of it was kind of cleaning streets. So, I mean, it's been a real, you know, kind of variety of things. I think the club actually are probably quite surprised by the level of commitment that people showed. And as I say, it's just a real shame that there has to be a winner.
And just before we talk about what Madrid did then, have you mentioned sort of the club and their, you know, involvement? It goes right to the top, doesn't it? I mean, literally, you know, and people might be sort of surprised about that, really. The you know, is it a boardroom level? They've been engaged with this and have enjoyed what you guys have done in the name of Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, when the challenge was kicked off, we had a call with Linda Henry. And, you know, so she came on and then just randomly John walks into the room and goes, oh, what are you doing, Linda? And kind of, you know, gives a little contribution. And then this week as well, when we've done the announcement of the winners, it was announced by Linda and John. So that's a kind of a big buzz for people that, you know, that they're paying attention. And even, you know, I mean, a lot of us were very active on social media. So apologies to anybody who kind of had their social media overtaken for that weekend in early September. But, you know, I mean, Linda's been really kind of committed to kind of, you know, sharing it and commenting. And that does keep people abuzz, you know, just to kind of go, wow, it is being noticed. I think sometimes as fans, we kind of think that they're in an ivory tower and they don't really know what's going on. Yeah. But with this in particular, they've been really, really observant about what we've been doing.
So what did you guys do then while we were in Madrid and voted, as you say, and stay in competition as one of the winners?
So we won the award for LFC Family. So we had a bit of a challenge in Madrid because we're still very much in lockdown. So a lot of the stuff that we would have liked to have done in terms of volunteering or getting together and doing something was just out of the question. So we needed to find something that people could do on their own, but would add up to a greater good. We also looked at, you know, in terms of the type of community project that we'd like to help, what was most relevant, and we decided on food banks. So we'd done some work with a number of food banks over the last couple of years, but things here are getting significantly worse. So when we were kind of doing the challenge in early September, you know, they kind of said that about 40% of the population was going to need some sort of support from food banks this year. You know, bear in mind that Spain is a country that depends heavily on tourism. So, you know, the economy has just gone to pieces, really. So a lot of people are suffering and food banks are seeing a kind of excess demand compared to contributions. So we need to kind of think of something then creative that would kind of get people engaged. So we came up with the Champions Walk. So we looked at all the trophies that Liverpool have won over our history, which is 48. And we said, okay, well, let's walk kind of as a group, let's walk 48 kilometers. So, you know, somebody took, you know, kind of on the, you know, right, I'm going to walk the UEFA Cup. Somebody walked the Champions League, somebody walked, you know, and those people did, you know, 6 kilometers or, you know, they did, we had like one kid who was like four and he did 1 kilometer for the Club World Cup. So, you know, we did, you know, different clubs. So we each owned a trophy. And then over the 3 days of the challenge, we did, we all did that walk kind of towards the Champions Walk. But, you know, importantly, raising money for and also awareness of the work of food banks, not just in Spain, but around the world.
Yeah. So how much did you guys get out of it? Because as you mentioned, Madrid is very much in lockdown. And so presumably there's a bit of you're missing each other, you're missing each other's company. You know, I've been to the bar. It's great fun there. And you know, it's a thriving community you've got. So was this a nice thing to sort of focus on and to do something together as well?
Absolutely. So, you know, the one of the limitations, in inverted commas, of the challenge is that you needed to have a maximum of 15 people participating. So what we did was we kind of said, okay, well, there's 7 major trophies. We'll have 14 participants. So 2 people did it. And the weird thing is when you add 48 times 2, it actually adds up to 96. Mm. So it kind of feels like a number that kind of keeps, you know, coming up. So, you know, we set up the WhatsApp group and kind of really kept each other going. You know, kind of during the day, shared photos, shared videos with each other. You know, the person who, you know, for him, bear in mind as well, you know, I mean, Madrid in August, September, it's hot, you know, yeah. It's like 36, 37 degrees at midday. So, you know, one lad got up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to walk his dog and cover off his 6 kilometers. And he would kind of send everybody like a morning greeting going, here I am, I'm on my Champions Walk. You know, I've done the Champions League today already. And that was really good to kind of have that kind of feeling of community to, you know, bring us all together when we couldn't be physically.
Does it give you a kind of an impetus to do you think to do more as a group? Because obviously, you know, it's something that you've enjoyed, you can see the benefits of it, and you know, you've won an award, which is nice as well. Do you think, I mean, I'm sure you guys were doing sort of little bits anyway, but is this, you know, as someone who's heavily involved in the supporters club, made you think, do you know what, there's so much more we could be doing together, especially when times allow more?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that was one of the other great things about the different things going on around the world is you're really inspired by it and go, oh, wow, we could do that. I mean, I one of the other winners that you're going to talk to shortly, I visited Myanmar a few years ago and met the Myanmar Reds. And they have an annual challenge, which is giving blood. So kind of given red for the Reds, because it's really, really important for their community. You know, we looked at doing that in the past, and bizarrely, the Brits can't give blood in Spain because of mad cow's disease. So that kind of, seriously, so that kind of went by the wayside. But, you know, you are kind of thinking, okay, what can we do? What can we do maybe with more children, or, you know, what can we do with like a hospital? We have been kind of quite active in the past. So, you know, we've done stuff for cancer charities, or, you know, say for food banks. So, you know, yeah, it does give us the impetus to keep on doing this.
To keep going. And just finally, Jackie, I mean, you're one of the Scouse voices we'll have today. I think the only sort of Scouse voice we have. So you've sort of lived both lives, really. You've been very local. People can obviously tell from your accent, you're originally sort of from Liverpool. But yeah, I know you've been in Madrid for sort of quite a while now. And, you know, I think for people who do live here, and I'm sure you were the same when you went here, there's, I don't know if misunderstanding is the wrong word of supporters clubs, but I think there's a bit of they just meet up and they try and get tickets and they come over every now and again and things like that. Whereas actually, you know, it's thriving LFC communities, isn't it? It's people who are getting together and doing things. And for many people who were in the clubs that we're going to go and speak to or whatever, like they might never get to Anfield, but they want to create something where they live that's kind of as close as possible to it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, ones that were close to me, the Flemish Reds, if anybody knows them, they're absolute nutters. You know, I mean, I've been drinking in the King Harry with them at 11 o'clock on Boxing Day, where they've had to leave their house on Christmas night at 6 o'clock to get the ferry to get up to Liverpool for an early kickoff. You know, so it's not just kind of, you know, we're going on a nice little jolly. I mean, they put in the miles for it. And the pubs are great. I think anybody who went to the Belgrade away game a couple of years back and kind of spent time with the Serbian Reds, you know, another great community. And I think the you know, what we've seen this year, I mean, we're a little bit concerned that this year, because we're not able to organise kind of the occasional trip to Anfield, that we'd have less members this year. You know, we were concerned that people would kind of drop off. And we've actually had a bumper year because, you know, people are appreciating that kind of, you know, coming together, and they might be watching the match at home, but, you know, we've got kind of a WhatsApp or Facebook or whatever, and they know each other, and they know that they can have a conversation with people around Liverpool. You know, we've got members who, you know, have obviously got like a Spanish team as well, but we've got members who have got no Spanish team. You know, we've got one lad, you know, full arm-to-arm tattoos of Liverpool, has zero link with the city, and could barely speak any English at all, apart from "You'll Never Walk Alone" when he got involved with the Madrid Reds. So I think, you know, it's not just kind of a nice day out every now and again if you get to go to Anfield, or, you know, an occasional, you know, watching the match. You know, it really is a thriving community around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations again, and thanks so much for obviously explaining more about the ward. And yeah, looking forward to seeing what you guys do next.
Cheers, John.
I'm from Madrid. We go to Kenya now and to Nishal, who long-time listeners will remember came in to see us a few years ago, but it's nice to catch up. So Nishal, good to see you, mate.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on again, John.
And I guess we start with congratulations. You know, all the guys I'm speaking to today are all winners. You guys won. So yeah, you must be buzzing.
We are. We are. It's been It's a good recognition to get from the owners of Liverpool Football Club, and Linda was understandably excited about the originality of the ideas that we had and the exercise that we did over that challenge weekend. And so it feels really good. The crowd is buzzing. The members of COP Kenya are buzzing, of course, with this, and it's just great. It's a all round feel good factor. Yes.
So before we get into sort of what exactly you did over the weekend, if you could just, first of all, just let us know a little bit more about COP Kenya. As I said, you've been on before, but for people who maybe didn't hear that, or to refresh a little memory, let us know a little bit more about your club.
Excellent. So I was on about 18 months ago. It was February last year. And at that time, we were expecting Liverpool Football Club to do this world tour. And so they were sending down a couple of legends down to Kenya. And unfortunately, we had a bomb attack in February And so those plans were shelved and postponed for a while. But anyway, so as I explained then, COP Kenya started. It was actually just a WhatsApp group that was started by a man called Kaushal Sanghvi, who is currently our secretary of the club. So he's just a football fan, started this WhatsApp group. Over a period of time, of course, they got rid of all the Manx and the Chelsea fans in it. And suddenly there were Liverpool fans WhatsApp group. And then in 2013, we decided to get together, form a committee. I was the founding chairman. There was a Kaushal himself was the treasurer at that time. And we had a secretary called Mitesh Chowda. And Mitesh's vision at that time was to get, you know, some kind of a recognition from Liverpool Football Club. So he spearheaded the effort of applying for the official Liverpool Football Club status. We got it. And now this is our seventh year with renewed recognition by OLSC and in Liverpool itself. And for the last couple of years, we have the gold status. And so that basically just gives a little bit more access to members for matchday tickets if they want at Anfield, some club discounts and things like that. So that's just awesome to actually have that over a period of 7 years. So we've grown. I remember in the first year, we were only, 13, 14 members in the year 13, 14. And today we're hitting close to 300 all across Kenya. Wow. So that's just awesome. Like-minded individuals, just diehard Liverpool fans supporting one club, getting together to do things together. It's just fantastic. None of us could ever have envisaged this or envisioned this for sure.
So on to the challenge then. So obviously the challenge was thrown out to all supporters clubs around the world to do something incredible in your community over this weekend. So what did you guys decide to do? Why was it that you guys were given one of these awards that I'm sure was battled over heavily all around?
Good question. So I remember us discussing this on our little committee WhatsApp group. I'm on the committee now, although I've sort of held different roles in the committee all through the 7 years. This year, I'm more in charge of social media. So I'm on the committee on that sort of basis. And we were going to do something anyway. We're full of charity work. Yeah. COP Kenya, the way we work with our membership is you pay £7 equivalent per calendar year, per Premier League calendar year. And that's to become a member. And then we don't really have any expenses because all of us committee members are all volunteers. So we're like, okay, where are we going to spend this money? So that's how we started the charity work. So whatever money we collect, we use it towards charity, whether it is supporting a young child from underprivileged background through a football school in Nairobi, or it's giving and feeding street kids on a Sunday, for instance, 1,200-1,300 street kids at a particular venue. And we'll sponsor that entire event. So we've done these over a long period of time, and we regularly do these. So we were planning on doing some charity work anyway, and the you know, This Means More challenge was just thrown out there. And so we said, okay, we're just now going to consolidate that over this weekend. And I remember the discussion in the WhatsApp group, and I had to look it up in preparation for this call. And I for some reason, just said, you know, why don't we do a Kenya-wide event and involve many more of our centers? So generally, COP Kenya, or the majority of COP Kenyans, are in Nairobi, but now we have members spread all over Kenya, Western Kenya, you know, just north of Nairobi, in Mombasa County as well. And so we came up with the idea of doing 5 and 3. So 5 different cities, 5 events in 3 days, because the challenge was from 4th to 6th of September.
Yeah.
And that just worked out incredibly well, because initially what seemed like what was going to be a logistical nightmare, suddenly COP Kenyans from everywhere just stepped up and said, you know what, I want to work with this foundation in Kisumu. Somebody else said, I want to donate to an orphanage, a children's home that's an orphanage home in Thika. And Abdul Hussein Adamji took that over. And then Adam in Mombasa said, you know, I want to give to 11 different orphanages in Mombasa. And the tearjerker stories that came through after the event and after what everybody has done, we got everyone to, you know, be socially responsible, limited the number of COP Kenyans to 4, 5, maybe 6 at the most, wear masks all the time, and just adhere to all the rules and regulations that the Ministry of Health locally had put out. And the success was just overwhelming. Everybody, you know, took photographs, took videos, and then we sort of got them all together into a big video that we then put out to all our members. And those who you know, couldn't be there for whatever reason because they opted not to, or they've got elderly folks living back home or susceptible in any way to COVID because of underlying health issues, et cetera. You kind of respect that and you say, great. So this, it came about, you know, just a comment on the whim, and suddenly people just stepped up and all the members just stepped up, and it was fascinating to see it all come together.
I mean, obviously, you've done a huge amount of good in these different areas and in these different cities, which must be a thrill for you, as you say, from a club that started, you know, with a WhatsApp group to doing all these amazing things, you know, must be great. But it sounds like for you guys as well, you've got a lot out of it personally in terms of those who, you know, who got involved with the events, who did the kind of, you know, different things in different cities. For you, it sounds like, you know, do you guys, you know, have got something out of it too?
I think so, because as I said to you, we have members paying a certain amount of money to become a member for the year, and we don't have any expenses. So where are we going to spend this money? And the good thing is that means that we have like-minded people on the group. They understand that there's money that being, you know, they're paying to become a member, and they get access to those match day tickets whenever Liverpool give them, you know, offer them to supporters, clubs around the world. They get the discounts, et cetera, et cetera. So apart from that, there is nowhere else to spend this money that's come in. And you can imagine we're now close to 300 members. So it can, you know, work out to a substantial amount over a period of time. And so because the members don't know each other otherwise, or did not know each other otherwise, they don't hang out together socially unless they're watching matches together. And because we couldn't have match day viewings together for a while, you know, the COVID break notwithstanding, and, you know, there's only so many online quizzes and little competitions of, you know, who's going to be the first goal scorer, who's going to, you know, what's the final goal going to be, et cetera, et cetera. There's only so many of those you can have. So you can imagine that the members, they bond over the charity work. They completely get it and they're completely on board with it. And that's why so many of them stepped up. So it is something that we do, and it's something that we get out of it, of course. The, you know, the TMM challenge just came about right at an opportune time, which allowed us to, you know, kind of focus on something other than ourselves or the quizzes and the not being able to watch matches together. Suddenly we're back out in the community. Suddenly we're doing the work that just gives us that gratification. And as I said to you, the tearjerker story, Adam Kadenani in Mombasa, if you just heard his story, my goodness, he went to an orphanage that has mentally retarded kids. And you know, he walked in and later on he called me and he said, Nish, you're never going to believe this. I mean, kids came up to him just, they were giggling away. They just couldn't, they thought there was an angel brought down to earth by God. You know, they were touching him to just see, are you alive? Are you real? Are you, you know, a proper person? And that feeling that he walked away with, and I was like, oh man, that is just overwhelming. What, you know, little hamper that we gave them, on that day through Birds of Paradise Foundation in Mombasa, they're going to have a meal every single day for a month. Wow. It doesn't cost a lot of money for us, but it's just that feeling that it's a gratitude to, you know, to God that, you know, we are where we are. It's a reminder that we have so much more than other people, and therefore we need to be grateful. We need to be happy. And it just diminishes. It doesn't obviously, negate what COVID is doing around the world, but it just diminishes that for a while, the challenges that everybody's going through. And I think that feel good factor, it's like being in Anfield for 90 minutes. You kind of forget about all the other problems around the world because you're there, you're in, you're vested, you're completely in the zone with the cop. And this is akin to that. This is similar to that because you get out of that zone, you get out of the self-pity or the mental issues that you might be going through, or the challenges you might be going through at work or in your relationships or what have you, because you focused on somebody else who has much less than you do, who is coming from underprivileged backgrounds. I mean, for somebody to come and touch you just to make sure you're real and you're, it's mind-boggling what those kids would have had to go through otherwise, and you know what they're going through. So that's Adam's story. There's one from Abdul Hussein in Tikka when he gave 200 orphaned kids in this one particular orphanage, Dada's Community Center. I remember him saying to me, they did a dance show for him and they involved him and they made him dance. And, you know, him and the other cop I too were there with him giving out the foods. They cooked food for the day, and then they stocked up the larder or the store with dry food for a whole month. So for the next whole month, those kids had enough food. And so, you know, the money that we collect from the membership fees might not always be enough to do all this. But then other corporates will step up and say, you know what, I can't give you money, but I work in an organization. We produce cooking oil, or we produce flour, or we produce whatever. Can I give 3 bales of flour? Can I give 1 50-kilo sack of sugar or something like that? And then we divide it in the donations that we do. So the donations in kind that come in during these events are also mind-boggling. They're just, it's unbelievable. We worked with Eliud Kipchoge Foundation. You probably know him. He's the man who holds the current world record for marathon. He ran it in under 2 hours. And so we've been going through him to distribute reusable sanitary pads. So in that weekend, we did a distribution in Eldoret. And these are young women who rely on the sport for their income. And because of COVID, 6 months, they've had zero income coming in from their sport. So now suddenly they have reusable sanitary pads that will work for 5 years. It's mind-boggling the kind of reach it can have. You know, they can work through those days when they're on their cycle, et cetera, et cetera. It's immeasurable. And that gratitude and that feeling of the satisfaction that we get from that, I think I speak on behalf of all Corp Kenyans, is just something that puts a smile on your face when you go, you know, when you go out the next day. It's just brilliant.
I'm sure it does. And thank you so much for sharing all that. And you used the word mind-boggling, but I think for many people listening to this, to think that there's orphanages, you know, in Kenya who are getting a month's worth of food because of a football club thousands of miles away is kind of a crazy thing, but more power to you guys. And it just shows the power of football and togetherness. And I know for you, you know, you mentioned it a little bit before, you're probably one of the most active supporters clubs who I've ever met in terms of what you're doing all the time. So this means more challenges, just, you know, it's always a logical step for you. And I know you wanted to talk about a little bit about stuff that you've got planned in the future and more stuff that you're looking to do as well.
We have an event that I've been sort of working on. There are two cyclists, friends of mine, who cycle, or enthusiasts. They're not professional cyclists, but they are enthusiast cyclists, and they want to cycle from Nairobi to Moyale, right on the border of Kenya and Ethiopia, and back. The round trip is 1,554 kilometers, and the idea is that, you know, if we manage to do this, and they're planning to do this from the 11th to the 23rd of December, so it's a 13-day round trip. And if we manage to do this, the money that we raise from that, now, this is another segment that's constantly overlooked or perhaps not even thought about. You know, Kenya is a tourist destination, right? We attract a lot of tourists in our national parks, and thanks to COVID, we don't have international tourists. We have local tourists in terms of numbers, and international tourists, numbers and spending power, the international tourists make up more of their regular income that goes into those parks. Now, each of these parks, whether they're national parks, so it's Kenya Wildlife Service regulated, or if it's a private conservancy, they have lodges on the park, and they make money when the tourists visit. They spend, you know, money and time in those lodges, and then they go out for these game drives. And for the game drives, you have the park rangers who double up as guides, who double up as security personnel. So if you want to do a self-drive through a conservancy, you can have a ranger with you, and he'll tell you where the animals were spotted in the last couple of days. And so the big five, that's what you're most interested in, the elusive leopard or the lone rhino, et cetera. So you know where they're going to be because he directs you to them. At the end of that little 2.5-3 hour tour, the international tourists, local tourists too, but the international tourists is going to tip them heavily. They've lost that income. They have no, you know, supplementary money coming in into their coffers. So coming back to the challenge and the ride to Moyale and back, 1,554 kilometers. If you were to pledge as the Anfield Rat £1 per kilometer, you can follow them on Strava and see the progress. Here, Alex Seo, who is one of the cyclists, good friend of mine, has got his own YouTube channel as well. So you're now suddenly going to be able to follow his videos along the way. And, you know, £1 for every kilometer, that's £1,554. 370 rangers in those national parks, we're going to give them food hampers for Christmas. That's the idea. That's the goal. We're working towards that, trying to involve as many of the the national parks, trying to involve as many of the lodges along the way to provide security, motor vehicle, the follow car, accommodation, food, water for the two cyclists. And it's a big logistical challenge for me and the committee and the club. But if it works out, right, we're going to be able to put a smile on 370 Rangers' families' faces this Christmas. So really looking forward to that happening.
Well, best of luck with it. And it was very nice to speak to you today. And congratulations again, mate. Well done.
Thank you, Paul. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on again. And keep up the good work. And the content is brilliant, as always.
Thank you. And now we go to Las Vegas. Where else and the official supporters come from Las Vegas? And Roddy. Roddy, welcome to the Anfield Wrap.
Great, John. Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
So for you guys, this means more challenge. You know, it's Las Vegas. It's the entertainment capital of the world. Did you feel like you had to bring a bit of razzmatazz to the whole thing?
I think so. I think we were all super jazzed at the club. There's probably a hardcore of about 30 or 40 of us that get together to watch the games. Even under these COVID times, you know, we could do social distancing in the pub and we all get together. So it became quite a big sort of like set up when I read out the rules and the instructions and ultimately what the prize was, of course, which was an interview with Jürgen, which, you know, we didn't get there. Myanmar got there ultimately, which is like phenomenal because the stuff that they did from a charity perspective was amazing. So, we all got together. There was probably about 10 or 12 of us at the end of the day, sat there as a committee. You know how difficult that is when you've got 10 or 12 creative people with different ideas. And we decided that we wanted to have all these assets in Vegas that were completely unique, including the desert. So that came into the video. And then three of our supporters had written the words to this song, Boring James Milner. And we couldn't decide. The hardest argument, John, was do we separate the videos or do we combine them? And, of course, John from showmethestandard.com, another member, he's the guy that created the whole video. He said we should link them and then try to find this bit to link. So like Elvis in the desert and then the whole thing just goes off the pot after that. It was great fun.
I mean, I've seen the video. First of all, it's incredible. Like, it's a professional music video, but it's really funny as well. Like, I'm laughing watching it. But it's all the famous buildings you recognize from Vegas. Like, I mean, and I know there's a lot of mad stuff goes on in Las Vegas, but still, people must have been walking past going, "What on earth is going on there?"
Yeah, cutting the grass beside the big "Welcome to Las Vegas" sign, and then we actually managed to get a live wedding going on at the chapel. Although I have to say, if you look closely at the bride, she does not look to be particularly amused that there's a bunch of red fans dancing about beside her. All good.
I mean, that was obviously the fun part of what you did, but there was a kind of a more serious element as well. You know, a lot for homeless charities there in Las Vegas.
It's pretty unbelievable, John, that there's some like 1,200 kids, youths between the age of 12 and 20 that live on the streets in Vegas. And if you think about the amount of money that's generated in this city from conventions and gambling and the casinos, under normal circumstances, of course, it was kind of bizarre to us that's still out there. Yet we're going down the pub and having a laugh and a giggle and being able to watch a game together as a group. So one of our members had actually come across from the UK. He couldn't get a job. And so he volunteered for these NPHY, the Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth. And that's what started it. You know, it's the old story. You know, it's a relationship here, a relationship there. So we met the girls, told them what we were intending to do. They're all over it because, you know, we're donating health packs and hygiene kits. And then we tried to think about a longer-term sustainable way of helping them. So we thought, right, every time we get together in the pub, let's get a nice big glass bowl. We'll drop a dollar in. And then every time Liverpool score, in goes another one. So there's been a few VAR delays. You know, we've been like this.
They don't think about this, do they?
Are we giving them the money or not? In fact, the one last weekend, we put the money in right when Jota scored. And it was like, oh, no. And of course, you can't take the money back. But everybody just gets into it.
Yeah.
Because it's only a dollar, right, people just don't miss it. So, you know, we've already donated $1,000. We worked with the 23 Foundation, sold a shirt last year, split the money between the foundation and the NPHY. And then this year we're off to the races with the goals. I think actually so far this year we've collected something like $1,200 just from at the beginning of the season, right? Of course, the Villa game wasn't very expensive, but we'll not bother talking about that. We're still talking about it.
Absolutely. I mean, does it give you pride, kind of, what you've done as a club, you know, because obviously this weekend has been great in terms of raising money and what you guys have done, but it sounds like, you know, this is an ongoing thing. You guys, you must be proud of what you do together. As you know, it could just be a group of, you know, people having a beer, but you know, and you do that, of course, but you've done a lot more for where you live.
We have, and I think it gives like another sense of purpose to people that are less fortunate than us. And everybody's been really generous. You know, we had a guy who's he was there for all the games last season. He hasn't been in this season yet, and he just dropped $100 because he'd missed the games. And it's like everybody can really identify with what the core issue is. It doesn't solve the issue, but you know, the whole idea for the charity is to get these kids on to be able to live a self-sustaining life. And if we can help contribute towards that, and then we're going to get more shirts, and we'll do raffles. And of course, under normal circumstances, John, the fact that OLFC Vegas is now on the map, visitors coming into Vegas, you know, it'd be
You've had Neil Atkinson down, haven't you?
Mr. Armstrong, as we called them. That was my faux pas. That was my big faux pas of the day. Right? Neil Armstrong from the Anfield Rap. Yeah, he's been in. It was great to see him.
Yeah. So did you enjoy the process then? Because obviously, you know, the reason to do it is to make a difference where you live and in the communities. But did you, I mean, it looks like you had a lot of fun making the video and everything and stuff like that. Was everyone buzzing with the process? And obviously the fact that now you've won one of the prizes as well. Like it must be a lot of fun.
Well, it was great fun at the time. And, you know, we had this hardcore, as I said, and everybody realized what their own skill set was. So we ended up with John Gillette, who pulled the whole video together. He's a production guy, he's an artist, he's a singer. We had Stacey, who did the voiceover. She's actually training to sort of like do voiceovers. So she was perfect for the start of the video and then honing in on that bit you'll never watch alone. Quinn, who dressed up as Elvis, it was him and a couple of the other members that wrote the song. And he's just as flamboyant as you like. So he had no problem with getting dressed up in the Elvis. And then everybody else, when we all went down to the desert on a Friday afternoon at like 4 o'clock, it was like 111 degrees outside. Wow. And we're in the middle of nowhere in the desert, just outside Vegas. And of course, we're on a sort of like a big sort of flat piece of ground and filming all sorts of things. And other people are walking past us going, what are these people doing? All dressed up in red, playing footballs. There's one bit that never made the video, actually, which is hysterical, because I think like all these things, the outtakes are sometimes funnier than the actual video itself. Is that we were all dressed up with the masks on playing football. So Bruce Robillard and Milner and Andy Robertson. It was just such a great time. And I think we would have been really annoyed with ourselves and maybe a little bit with the club if we hadn't won something, because we put so much time and effort into it. And during the process, I could see what other people were posting. And I was like nobody's doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so, like, who knows? Let's just see where it goes. So, but some of the other stuff that people were in Kenya, unbelievable. Myanmar, unbelievable. Madrid, unbelievable. All the other clubs that were actually just getting out and doing, like, cleaning a block of streets in Baltimore. I mean, things that you just don't naturally associate with a bunch of Liverpool fans going to watch a game.
Yeah. Great stuff. Yeah, and all the stories are amazing. But congrats to you guys. Last thing, are you going to be able to put the video out? Is he going to sort of release it? Do you know what you're going to be able to do with it yet?
That's the plan. But you know, we spoke to Linda and John Henry last week, which was great. But that was an honour in itself, chatting away to them. And we said to Linda that we want to release the song on Spotify, and she said that she'll do anything that's possible from a club perspective to help push it out there and raise some more money. So that'd be awesome. I would really love to hear the cop sing it, you know?
Well, we'll see about that, but obviously we'll support it any way we can. But Ardi, top man, thanks so much for joining me. Really nice to speak to you, and hopefully see you over there at some point, eh?
Hopefully, John. Absolutely. Stay safe, mate, all right?
And we finish, of course, with the overall winner, the overall success story, the one voted the best application to the This Means More Challenge. And it was the official supporters club in Myanmar. So I'm delighted to be joined there by Yamin over Zoom. Yamin, congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks so much, John. It was an honour.
So if we go all the way back to when the challenge was announced then, why was it that you guys as a supporters club wanted to take part?
It's the Glover event, and it's only host like once a year event, And obviously, as an official Liverpool supporter club in Myanmar, I think it is important to represent the club and to promote the club values. And we just want to take part because so many OFC around the world are joining. So I think it's just exciting experience, yeah.
So lots of clubs did different things. That's what we're learning. It was kind of up to each club how they chose to represent. So what did you guys decide to do?
We got quite a list, actually. I'm not sure if you've got time.
All right, we'll listen. We'll sit here and listen. That's all good.
Okay. Actually, when we think about this main floor challenge weekend is going to last 3 days. So I asked my committee members saying, like, oh, who wants to join? And obviously, what do you guys want to do? What we want to do? We started like brainstorming and everything. And a lot of ideas come up. And shall we challenge ourselves and let's do this, how much we can do and let's see how it goes. So first we planned it, and then in the edit comes closer, there is like a second wave of COVID is coming towards, and so we have to cancel some of the activities and change a bit. So we have quite a list and a list of things that we have done. So we gave out 200 fabric masks to public, and we planted 96 plants for 96 angels. We donated blood and gave out meal boxes to less fortunate people in the area, cleaned up the hospital compound, snacks and coffee for the frontliners, and clothes, food donations for refugee students in Rakhine State. And also we donated hand sanitizer, 10 liters of hand sanitizer to mental health hospital. And last but not the least, on the third day, we did a little mini concert and some game show and quiz show. And we hosted on the Facebook live page. And then we got quite many viewers because it's a stay-at-home period. Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah, you said it was a lot. And it really was a lot. How many people were involved in it then from the club, and how many of you guys did? Because it sounds so much. How many of you were involved?
All of us together is like 15. Actually, the clubs sort of set as a limit around like 18 to 20 due to COVID and everything. So we have all together 15 members in this team. Yeah.
Yeah, and did all that. That was incredible. And sort of very different things as well. Did you guys enjoy it? Did you enjoy the experience?
Yeah. Obviously, there are lots of up and downs, and there were restrictions, and we had to change the plan and everything. But in the end, we stuck together. And as a group, we just try to do our best with what we have. And it's sort of like a team. We believe in each other, and we are very like strongly bonded together in those 3 days periods, and obviously we are very delighted to help the community and very pleased and proud of ourselves. And at the same time, it was very humbling like experience. Yeah.
Yes, some of those organizations in the community that you helped, some of the ones that you donated to, that you provided hand sanitizer, they must have been so grateful for your support and for these group of Liverpool fans to turn up with these gifts. They must have been really pleased to see you.
Yeah, a lot of people are very surprised because, you're from Liverpool Supporter Club, and what are you guys doing? And we're like, yeah, this is like a foundation challenge. And also we wanted to help and do our bits in the community. And they were like, oh, how nice. And it's really nice to, you know, have you guys out there and do things. And yeah.
No, I'm sure it was a surprise, but I'm sure they were so grateful because so many, you know, were the recipients of what you guys did. You know, you must be so proud to be the overall winner then, because, you know, we've heard from a few different groups and the things they did. I know speaking to the guys at the club, there were so many good entries that that didn't get a prize as well. So for you guys to be the overall winner, all the way in Myanmar, you must be really, really proud of yourselves and your club.
Yeah, we are very, very proud. We live like so far away from the club, and we only have a few members who's been to Anfield and everything. But we are very close at heart to the club. We always do activities together, and we also report it back. And it's, of course, to be an overall winner, we are like extremely proud and over the moon. And it's an honor to be a winner. And we are very humble and very proud to be, just very proud to be part of this LFC family. And I just want to say shout out to all the OSC who participated in the challenge. And they've done so many amazing things. And, you know, during three days, we saw so many like updates from any OSC around the world during the challenges. It's so inspiring. And some of them are truly, truly amazing. So, yeah, well done to all of you guys. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And I gather one of the positives of winning was you got a Zoom call with some pretty important people at Liverpool as well.
Yes. Yeah. we're going to have a Zoom call with Mr. Klopp, one and only Mr. Klopp. Yeah. So that would be amazing. We're really excited. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a shame he can't quite do a Jürgen hug through Zoom, but
unfortunately, yeah.
But I'm sure it'll be an amazing experience, and we'll have to tell you. You'll have to tell us about that as well. So, I'm just interested, if you don't mind, to learn a little bit more about your supporters club then, because we've not spoken before, and some of the clubs. You know, like we had Jackie on from Madrid before, and we've been out to see them. Whereas you guys, we've not met. So, if you could tell us a little bit more about your club, and were you able to celebrate when Liverpool won the league title? Was that possible?
No. Unfortunately, we couldn't celebrate because it was during the pandemic first wave. So, we only sort of had a Zoom call, like watch party, that sort of things. And then I think, like in the first week, I think we had sort of like a mini parade where we sat on the car and then we had some banners on the car.
And
very early in the morning. And of course, we practiced social distancing and everything. We just parade around 10 or 15 cars parade around our city. And that's all. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. No, incredible. So, just to sort of finish, really, has this experience made you more determined as a supporters club to do more things in your community? Have you been having chats about what kind of things we can do next?
Yeah, obviously. We will continue to do more and do blood donation activities, which is like regular activities for us. We do it like every 4 months. So we'll continue to do that. And during anniversary, our branch anniversary, we will do regular donations and any other charitable activities, and if we have chance. And also, of course, this challenge, it means so much to us, and it sort of like inspired us to do even more and working together as a team and helping our communities. And also like LFC foundations. Yes.
Yeah. Well, congratulations again. What you've done is incredible. And well done on being the overall winner. And hopefully one day we'll see you over in Liverpool for a game. Sports Social Podcast Network.